to the bottom, I go back to the top of the slide. Well, I stop and I turn and I go for a ride till I get to the bottom.
Oh, man. Welcome back, everybody. It's Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I am Brian.
That I am Luke.
Over there.
Yeah.
We are here with our guest, Jesse Pykel-Holtz.
I'm Jesse.
And that's Jesse. And this is Dan Larson. How you do?
I'm doing all right.
It's really hard for me not to say Don Larson, and it that's the hesitation. That's literally all it is I'm trying to not say Don Larson.
Get fired.
Well, I might have to fire myself. But welcome back, everybody. If you have any questions for our guests, 844-967-2789. When last we left our friends, we were talking about building relationships. And it reminded me of somebody asked me, you know, being in politics in Wisconsin and things like that, are you going to run for office anytime at all? A couple people have asked me if I was going to do that. And I'm like, no. And not because I'm partially interested, but the point my point is that this state, I don't think they're going to go and take kindly to someone coming from outside saying, hey, this is how you should run your state. Or if you're going to be a representative of people, you might want to be part of that culture or people first. And I don't feel like I have completely, let's say, assimilated into that.
Brian, I'll speak for Wisconsinites. We accept you. You are one of us now.
That's fine. Well, I appreciate that. But I guess my point is that, you know, New England's very much like that.
Yeah.
And when I say Wisconsin's conservative, I don't mean that in a conservative, the way that we think
like
about it now. I think
yeah.
about it in a conservative type of mentality, like, why are we doing it this way?
Conservationism it's, kind of a thing.
Yeah, but why are we doing it? The tradition type of thing.
Sure.
Why are we doing it this way? Because of tradition. Well, it makes no sense to do it this way. The farmers don't, you know, need the crops. They can harvest at night now. We don't need to have daylight savings time.
Yeah, I'm going to dive into that topic on Wednesday when you will not be here.
But the point is that we're doing, why are we doing it? Because we always did it that way. And that seems to be the mentality of this. And I guess when you're building relationships and that leads to this, they're not going to just go and, like we said a week before the election, oh, this ad I saw, now that's going to move me. People need to have, people want to be taken out to dinner.
Well, and that's something that I've been giving a lot of thought to is like how we reach voters where they are, because we don't have much of a progressive media ecosystem on a large national scale.
We're it right now for Wisconsin.
Dan, you're preaching to the choir now.
And so, like, obviously when it comes to stuff that, like, we can control as individuals, the reason why doing meaningful community organizing year-round, why it's so important, is because that's the only way that we can actually reach people and also leverage the existing relationships that folks have into meaningfully moving people, whether it's moving somebody from not voting to voting or from voting for potentially Republicans to voting, like what's happening in the suburbs right now, both in Ozaukee and Waukesha counties. That's how I think we can meaningfully move people. Plus, if you're actually going to get folks engaged to run for office and to volunteer, you have to be building, you have to be doing relationship building and meeting folks where they're at and then giving them the tools that they need to be successful to organize their own communities. It's going back to the years of the Obama model that we used to have.
Well, yeah. And that's a perfect segue, because I was saying, you know, the 2008 Obama campaign, after that election was won, there were some local teams here across Madison and a couple others across the state that said, you know what, we built this really great infrastructure. We built these relationships and this network. Why would we just toss that away just because we won? Shouldn't we keep things rolling and kind of just, you know, not just hold his feet to the fire where we think he's wrong, but also to back his agenda where we think he's right? And I think that's the thing that Democrats haven't really done over the years. And you see that model expanding both with Martha Lanning, his done a lot of work to make that neighborhood team model be, you know, funded and thought of on a statewide level. And now Ben Wickler has done, you know, take that baton and run with it too. And we need to keep stepping on the gas pedal, not the brake, to make sure that that's the paradigm.
Yeah. And we need to go and get the message out that, by the way, every 15th of the month, if you have a kid, thank you, President Biden. And we need to have somebody out there saying that every single day. And a part of that is the relationship building and having the messaging structure to go and say that. And we had a year ago, people were jumping over hand and fist. We got to get Biden elected. The world is ending. We're all going to die if Trump is elected. We must do this now. I will do anything to get Biden elected. And now that he's elected, I feel like everybody's like, well, you guys take care of that. Now we got you there.
They're still taking a really long nap and taking a deep breath and having a stiff drink.
And I get it. it.
But we still need a breath. Get out and knock on doors and make phone calls.
It's not like we're going to be the third party candidates that always complain about not having a third party, but then they never do the infrastructure, the groundwork to make things happen.
Yeah, Brian, are you bringing the child tax care credit, expanded tax care credit? I can't talk. Apparently, it's Monday. Are you bringing the donuts on Monday to celebrate that on the 15th?
Why not? Let's have donuts. Yeah. Now that we have an excuse to have donuts, I'm in. Honestly, everybody, if we can have office donuts every 15th of the month for everybody.
Just that needs to be in the next.
Donuts for everybody. Vote Democrat.
I think that should be in the soft infrastructure bill. I'm gonna lobby Pocan and Tammy for it. But as we were talking about, Dan, a little bit, with Jim Ott getting 15,000 more votes than Trump at the top of the ticket for 2020 versus, so Jim Ott, assembly candidate, correct?
Correct. Jim Ott was I believe he was in the state assembly for 8 or 10 years. He was a former TV meteorologist in the Milwaukee area. So, and he also was a big fixture in the Mech 1 area. So,
okay.
I think that what's interesting about the down ballot races was our state assembly candidates ran a couple points behind Joe Biden, both in the 23rd and 24th districts. The 23rd, we did flip Representative Deb Andraka, who we're very proud to have. I think she's the first Ozaki rep we probably had in like 80 years or longer. That's actually a Democrat. Was successful at getting elected there. And Emily Zegras came up just short. But Joe Biden had carried both of those districts, and both of the candidates ran a couple points behind. And I think that when we talk about like the extremism that turned folks away from Donald Trump, they didn't necessarily associate that same extremism with Dan Knoedl in the 24th district or Jim Ott in the 23rd district. And I think one of the reasons why this work's so important right now is because we have to change that perception. Like, hey, if you're turned off by this recall effort, mm-hmm. or you're turned off by the extremism that Trump brought out, especially what we saw happen on January 6th, like that's why we need to be building these relationships with folks to get them to vote with us on other races as well.
Yeah, because I think it's important to point out, we had 100,000 voters that voted for both Scott Walker and Tammy Baldwin. And so there's a lot of cross top ticket, but farther down, there is a conversation about how some people go really hardline for those candidates lower down because they almost feel guilty for maybe switching sides at the top. And so maybe we'll have you back on for a longer conversation on that mentality. Another show here on Dueling Tangents, but I think that's pretty insightful that we're seeing the numbers break down, and you're talking about having these relationships build so that we can address those discrepancies between some of the down ballot candidates as well for 2022. And we're coming up close to the end of the show here, but any insight on what candidate recruitment looks like before we even have what legislative maps we're going to be dealing with next year?
Sure. So we're hard at work trying to find folks to run for local races in April. We've got school board, city council, county supervisor seats, the entire county board's up, and there's a number of far-right extremists on the county board that need to go. The Cedarbrook school board race can be a big bellwether as well. So yeah, we're continuing to look, and I'm sure we'll be able to find folks in the 24th and the 60th, but that'd probably get pushed back a little bit until we know what those districts look like.
I've always found that finding candidates is hardest because the people that would be the best at it are the most reluctant to run for office, and they just need a nudge on the shoulder.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting 2022, I think, and then that's what we're talking about. It's a year out. But here at Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian, we like to talk about solutions, not just complaining about the problems.
Yeah. So. Well, we like to complain about the problems, but
yeah, we'll
try
too.
And give you at least a little bit of a solution. Just remember, if you're thinking about running, the person down the hall in the Republican suit who's not qualified completely thinks he is. So
this is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Thanks so much, Jesse and Dan, for joining us. And we'll be back same time tomorrow.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.